NBA Finals coverage here on Warrior Sound, picking back up here in Toronto, Canada at the Scotiabank Arena. An off day for the Warriors on this Friday, with some of the players coming over here to the arena to get in some light shooting. And we also heard from Draymond Green and Steve Kerr as they addressed the media on this Friday. And let's listen in first to what Draymond had to say.
Hey Draymond, Jason Dumas, Crown 4. I know you are primarily focused on what goes on in between the 94 feet, but here in the outside world, you know, especially after last night's game, the reaction, it seems like most people back in the States are rooting for you guys to lose. And then obviously here in Canada, you have a whole country who's probably pulling for the Raptors. Do you guys feel that you guys are kind of the enemy of the series and people want to see you get knocked off the top?
Yeah, that's cool. You know, people in the States are rooting against us because we beat all their teams. So it's all good. You know, when you're at the top, no one's ever cheering for you to stay there. You know, people want to see you get to the top and they want to see you fall. That's just kind of the mind of the most human beings. So it's all good. But yeah, their team's sitting at home with them.
Give you guys any extra motivation or
no? We don't need that. We're trying to win a championship. You know, we know what it takes to win a championship. So, you know, we don't need to reach for extra motivation. If winning a championship isn't enough motivation for you, then you got other issues.
Third row on the right side, Mark.
Draymond, Mark Schwartz, ESPN. Given all the circus that exists around the NBA today with social media and with the salary cap and free agency and the 24-hour news cycle, the fact that you guys are here for the fifth straight year is somehow remarkable. What is it about you guys, your group, this assemblage of people that has allowed the noise to get blocked out and for you guys to stay so connected and hungry?
Oh, I think you hit it right there. It's the people that you bring together. You know, I think our front office has done a great job of not only finding talent, but finding guys who want to win. You know, I think so many times there's so many other things as you hit on that comes into play. And I'm not going to sit here and say money doesn't matter or, you know, like accolades doesn't matter. Like, who doesn't want those things? But I think what we've done a great job of is putting the number one goal ahead of all of that. And, you know, we've been successful and we've been reaching that number one goal and it's been paying off for everybody. You know, it started with me in 2015. We won a championship. I got my contract, you know, and then it went to Steph and Andre and Clay even before me and Kevin. Like, so when you reach the number one goal, which we've been able to accomplish, all those other things didn't seem to take care of themselves. I think so many times you see people struggle to put those team goals ahead of their personal goals, thinking their personal goals are taking a back seat. But if you put the team goals ahead of that, it pulls your personal goals right along with it. And I think we've been able to do that.
Right side, sixth row to Brian.
Brian Mahoney from the Associated Press. Draymond, when you were talking a little bit about Siakam last night, how he's kind of played himself into a guy in this league, do you have a little more respect for guys like that as kind of a player in your own right who, you know, didn't come into the league as a, you know, top five kind of guy who everyone said was going to be a star right away and had to kind of play his way into the respect he's gotten?
Absolutely. I don't necessarily think it's, you know, It's a different respect. You know, like I respect guys who are top five, top ten guys in the league. And, you know, for instance, like LeBron. LeBron came in the chosen one, King James, all these things out of high school. And he actually lived up to it. Like, that's incredible. He probably exceeded what everyone even thought that he would be. And yet, everybody thought he would be everything. And I think he possibly exceeded that. So you still respect that, but it's a different type of respect when you're talking about a guy who, like the guys who really got it out the mud. Like, you know, you come into this league and there's really no space for you. You know, you're essentially someone who kind of come in and, I mean, you can be out in a year. You can be out in 2 years. You can be out in 4 years. And to gain that respect and, you know, to, as I said before, like become a guy, you know, become one of those guys. I think especially, you know, Siakam has done that. He's become second option on his team, some nights the first option, like last night. But, you know, I can't say I foresaw that. You know, like, I played against him last year. I had no clue he'd be this guy this year. But he spent a lot of time in the gym, and it's paying off in this game. So it's a different respect for guys like that. Not that I don't respect other guys who's up there. But she's got a different appreciation for it.
Left side, fourth row, Tim.
Raymond, Tim Calcalmi, The Athletic. Obviously, Kevin's, whether he's physically ready, he's up in the air, you don't know. But do you see him, he's around the team now out here, do you see him mentally kind of getting prepared? Do you see him mentally moving closer to returning?
Yeah, you just see him kind of inching closer back to the team. And I think so much has been made of Kevin because of what lies ahead for him is that, oh, he's not with the team, he's not around, he's not a part of it. Shit, and December or November or whatever months I was out, I wasn't around the team either. And Tom Steph has missed. He wasn't around the team either. That's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. You're on your own schedule. You're rehabbing. You're doing all these different things to get back. And so now, you know, you kind of see him around the team more. All of a sudden, he's on the bus to shoot around or to practice. Like, once you start to get closer, you start to kind of move back into a normal schedule. And so you're starting to see him, hear his voice more. You know, you start to hear him coming up with adjustments, him before the game, you know, giving his input. But, you know, that's kind of just the natural buildup when you're going through an injury.
Left front row. Go ahead, Tim.
Tim Reynolds with the AP. Draymond, it's been a long time since you guys woke up down 0-1 in a series, obviously. But, you know, you were down a couple of times in 15. You were down last year to the Rockets. Do you draw upon those experiences now, or do you just figure out, not think of it that way, and just figure out how to win Sunday?
I think each series is different. You know, like you said, those – was a while ago, so you know it's a different feel. You never lose that experience. You know, you can always look back on it, and it's more about how you felt. What was your mindset then? But it's impossible to be the same because it's a completely different team. So, and although some of us may have that experience, others on our team have not had that experience. So, you can always look back and kind of, you know, recall those feelings that you had, but. It's a different situation. You know, each series presents its challenges, as this one does, and it's on us to figure those challenges out and then do what we need to do to, you know, exceed those.
Sixth row in the middle, Draymond.
Robert Littal, BSO. Just your personal opinion, Draymond, after a game, especially an NBA Finals game, do you think the media should just stick to what happened on the basketball court, leave the other stuff for social media? And if those questions do come up, like the question with Drake, how would you prefer those questions to be framed?
People can ask what they want. You know, I think at the end of the day, it's on us whether we want to answer it or not. So, yeah, it really don't bother me. That's Drake talking on the sideline. Like, I think so many people make a big deal out of it. It is what it is. He a fan. He talk. And it gets more attention because he's Drake. So many people have complained about it. Like, you don't let any other fan do that. Yeah, any other fan, just not Drake. So they probably shouldn't be able to do that. That's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. You know, he's worked his ass off to be who he is, and when you do that, I think we all know when you do that, you get more leash than others. So I think there's so much talk and like the NBA need us. No, they don't. Like, he worked to be who he is. You should get more leash. But I don't mind it. It's fun for me. So yeah, it is what it is. I don't really care what people ask.
Left side, second row, Mindy.
Hi, Draymond. Mindy Bach, ABC7 Sports. Before game one, Andre said that the Raptors obviously have a lot of deer out there. We saw that transition in Siakam's speed as well. Team-wise, how does their speed compare to other playoff series that the Warriors have been in?
They definitely have a lot of speed.
Then we're going to go to one. We're going to go to number three, the gentleman right behind.
I think we've definitely, you know, come across some teams with a lot of speed, you know. But we have to... You know, we've seen it now, so we know, like, you can hear about it all you want. You know, our coaching staff has preached about it. You know, since we found out we were playing them transition defense, it's different once you see it and you feel it. And so, you know, now that we got a feel for it, we know how to adjust. We know how important that it is. And, you know, it's on us to then make the effort. You know, all transition defense is effort and communication. So it's on us to make sure we make that effort in getting back and getting our defense set and communicating, you know, who has ball, who's picking up the shooters. They're very fast. A little faster than it even looks on tape, that's for sure.
Right-hand side, third row, Phil.
Hey, Draymond, Phil Barber, Santa Rosa Press Democrat. What did you think about DeMarcus's minutes last night? And do you think that the expectations outside might have been a little too high about just how he could move and how long he could give good minutes just coming back from an injury like that?
I'm not sure what the expectations were. But I thought his minutes was good. I thought he made great passes. You know, he got to the free throw line. And I thought he was solid on the defensive end. You know, it's first time essentially playing in, what, month and a half, something like that. So, I mean, I don't know how much you really can expect, especially, like, that game was fast. And, you know, some people may try to say, oh, DeMarcus struggled with the speed. Well, if DeMarcus struggled with the speed, so did I. And so did Steph and every other one of us. So I don't think there was no difference in him than any of the rest of us. We struggled with their speed last night, and it's something that we all have to be more aware of. But overall, I thought he gave us really good minutes.
Right-hand side, towards the back, on the aisle.
Over here, Draymond. Dan Devine, The Ringer. You spoke a little bit about the speed and sort of getting used to the flow of the series. I'm wondering, when you meet an opponent that you haven't played a whole lot, does it wind up being more about adjusting to what they're doing or making adjustments just to the way you're approaching them?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I think, you know, some of the challenges they presented for us last night was on them. You know, you got to get our defense some credit. And some of it, we can do a lot better in executing. Some shots we make, we missed. You know, some plays we make, we didn't make them last night. So you got to give them some credit, but I think there's also some adjustments that we can make amongst ourselves and what we're doing and our execution to be better.
Front row on the right side, Michael.
Michael Pena, SB Nation. Draymond, your three-point rate has been dramatically down in this postseason compared to previous playoff runs. I was wondering if you could just explain why that is and the impact that it's had on you and on the team's offense.
It's been down because I've just been getting to the hole. So, you know, if I can get to the hole, I'm going to get to, like, that's a better shot for me. In saying that, you know, I don't think much of it. If I got a 3-point shot and I got a lane, I'm gonna take that lane and get to the basket. So that's pretty much what it's been for me. I think I've been pretty successful at getting to the hoop.
Left side, second row, Mark.
Draymond, Mark Medina, Bay Area News Group. The point you made last night about how things start with you defensively. Where do you go from there with that?
I got to be more aggressive on the defense side of the ball. I think the aggressiveness starts with me, and then everybody else will follow that. If I'm on my heels, everyone else is on their heels, and I think that was kind of the story of last night. You know, I started the game not as aggressive as I could be on that side of the ball, and it showed in our team defense.
Follow up on that. Over the years, you and a lot of other guys on the team have been very self-accountable. And I was wondering, from your perspective, why do you think that is important to have on this team?
I think, you know, we're champions. You know, we understand what it takes. We know what each of us are capable of. And, you know, we hold ourselves to a higher standard than most people. You know, people. I think people hold us to a higher standard, but we hold ourselves to an even higher standard. So when we feel we're falling short of that, we're not afraid to say it. And I think that's important in a championship culture, you know, to be able to self-regulate. You know, you don't always need a coach to tell you something. You don't always need a teammate to tell you something. You got to know that within yourself. And you present that, and you do something about it.
Right side in the back, Kareth, final question.
Hi, Kareth Burke, NBC Sports Bay Area. Just to follow up on DeMarcus, can you summarize what kind of a career moment this is that he has reached an NBA Finals? Some guys don't get to taste that in their career, especially when he overcame two long-term injuries with the Achilles and the quad.
I think, this is a great moment. It's his first playoffs, and he's playing in the NBA Finals. It's a special moment, but, and especially with everything that he's battled back from. Like you said, the Achilles a little over a year ago, and then suffering the quad injury, 6 weeks ago or whatever it was. It's special. A special moment for him, a special moment for us seeing him out there. It'll be even more special if we can win this series and he get a ring and we all get a ring. So, that's what it's all about. I don't really think any of us are playing just to say we made it to the finals. Losing in the finals is no fun. You lost all your summer to walk away with nothing. So we want to win.
And then after Draymond spoke, we heard from head coach Steve Kerr on this Friday here in Toronto.
Steve, Mark, Medina, Bay Area News Group. Draymond was just reiterating the point he made last night that he felt like the defensive stuff started with him. What's your perspective on what you need from him moving forward, as well as the rest of the team defensively?
What was my perspective about what?
On what you need to see from Draymond moving forward defensively and the rest of the team.
It's a team effort, and nothing has changed from last night. And I don't know, maybe we've got another media session scheduled for 5 o'clock this evening. And if do, I'll say the same thing, which is that transition defense, that's where it starts. And we were just careless getting back. And so, Draymond is always going to take the burden on his shoulders, and I respect that about him. But it's a team effort, five-man group. And if your transition defense is bad, then there's not a whole lot you can do. Because you're talking about the best players in the world coming downhill in a fast game, 5-on-4, 4-on-3. It's just too easy to score for any team, but especially a team like Toronto that's in the finals.
Right hand side in the back to Steve.
Steve Simmons, Toronto Sun. Maybe the first seminal moment in the history of the Raptors was a game in which you played in 25 years ago. The Bulls came into Toronto, huge sellout at Sky Dome. What do you remember from that night and that game?
I remember missing the game-winning shot at the buzzer. That's true. But it's also hard for me to think about that being a seminal moment. I think that Raptors team won, 15 or 20 games, but it was a big game for the fans, and you could feel the energy. That was at the Dome, if I'm not mistaken. So what I remember back then was just coming up here and how intense and passionate the fans were. They were so excited to have the NBA. So maybe that's what you're referring to in terms of, the first real feeling of being part of the league, upsetting the Bulls, all that stuff. So, I remember that game well.
Left-hand side, fourth row.
Tim Kalkama, The Athletic. Obviously, Kevin's health is paramount, and you don't want him to re-injure it. But is there any assessment of where the series is and how that balances? If he can't re-injure it, if it's just a matter of what kind of shape he's in, maybe you think about getting him in faster. Is that part of the balance at all?
No, it's not. It's not my thinking. It's not our thinking. The thinking is when he's ready to play, he'll play. It's not like, this is a sore ankle or, his knee is sore or whatever, and you can play through it. And This is a tricky one. If you re-injure the calf, then that's it, and then he's done for the series. So, when he's ready to play, he'll play, and that's our approach.
You've always been, if he's ready to play, basically the minutes he plays as much as going to. Is that something you can?
I'm sorry.
Could you foresee him playing in a limited role, like where you're okay, play him in just very little spots here and there?
Kevin?
Yeah.
I don't see that. When he's ready to play, we're going to play him. Maybe there'd be a minutes issue based on his conditioning from not having played in a month or whatever it is. But we'll just have to wait and see. Once he's ready to play, he'll play, and then Rick and I will discuss what a plan would be in terms of how many minutes and all that stuff.
In the middle, eight rows back to Mark.
Yeah, Mark Berman, New York Post. Yeah, more Kevin. How has he responded to those couple of days of the on-court drills? And you guys are in having a real practice today, right? So there's no, and is Kevin sort of maybe missed more against a team like the Raptors with their great forwards than opposed to maybe Portland?
He's done well with his rehab the last couple of days. He's continuing to ramp stuff up. And I'm just not going to answer any questions about, you know, do we miss him against this team or that team or whatever. It's just because it's just a soundbite and it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is we have to win the game with what we have. And then when he comes back, we'll put him out there. Nothing else matters.
Second row, third one in on the right side.
Steve, Jason Dumas, Cron 4 Sports. You've talked about it this week and in the past, how much you love the city, you know, the NBA, the franchise here. What do you think the atmosphere was like yesterday for their first playoff game, first finals game, I'm sorry, in franchise history, and how do you guys think you responded to the energy in the building and the energy from them?
It was a great atmosphere. National anthem was one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. You know, hearing the crowd sing along to O Canada, it was beautiful. And I thought our guys responded well. I mean, we're used to playing on the road, hostile environments, all that. I don't think we played our A game. I think that's obvious. I think we did some good things, and there are a lot of areas we need to improve. But the crowd will never have anything to do with that, with this team. We're going to play our game, and you know, it's fun. Frankly, it's fun to be in these environments, to be challenged, to be threatened, and especially because the Canadian fans are so nice that even when they're harassing us, they do it in a very polite manner. So.
Right side in the back on the aisle to Nick.
Steve, Nick Friedel, ESPN. I just want to follow up on a couple things. Have you guys made a final decision as for Kevin's status for Sunday night?
Kevin's not going to play Sunday. Yeah, you can. I guess we've been, you know, sort of holding out hope, but I might as well just say it now. He's not practicing today. You know, we'll have a practice tomorrow, but he's still progressing. It's near impossible for him to play on Sunday.
And the second part is, Draymond touched on this earlier. Why did you guys make the decision to have him travel here if he wasn't going to play?
Because our training staff is here, and we need him with our training staff, and we also need our training staff for the rest of our players. And Kevin also wanted to be with the guys.
Left side, Steve, against the wall to David.
David Aldridge, The Athletic. Hey, how are you? At various points during this run, the last 5 years, the Memphis series, maybe the Houston series last year, you guys have been up against it, and you responded and got through. What have you seen from your guys at those particular moments, and what does knowing that they've done it before do for you as a coach going forward in a series like this?
Well, the experience helps. You know, winning multiple championships helps because you've seen it all. There's also the knowledge that you've been here before. You know, you've been down. We've been up 3-1 and lost a series. We've been down 3-1 and won a series. Everything in between. So nothing's going to catch these guys off guard, and they are very accustomed to the rhythm and tone of a 7-game series, and how long it takes, you know, how many twists and turns there are, and. You know that as soon as you lose a game, you know, it'll be on the crawl that now we only have a 19.7 chance percent chance of winning the series. But then if we win tomorrow, we'll have a 42.7 chance of not losing the series. So you just, you know, this stuff is what it is. You lose a game, you come back and you try to win. And the team we're playing knows that better than anybody. They were down 2-0 and came back and won 4 straight. So these things change quickly, but you have to be prepared for everything. You have to learn from your mistakes. You have to keep fighting, and it's actually pretty simple. Now, the execution of it is not simple, but when you watch it on tape, okay, this is what we have to do, and then, you know, are we good enough to do it? And that's that's what makes it fun. You get to test yourself.
Left side, fifth row on the aisle. Eric.
Hey, Steve. Eric Kurian from The Athletic. Aside from the transition defense, when you got them in the half court, how what was your impression of your guys' job in the half court defense, and particularly as it related to getting the ball out of Kawhi Leonard's hands?
I thought we did a pretty good job in the half court. There were some plays where we didn't rotate all the way through. The two Gasol threes early in the game stood out, where we just kind of stopped. You can't do that. That's regular season basketball. You know, playoff basketball, you got to make every rotation and until the shot clock goes out, until you get the rebound. So there were plenty of mistakes, but also plenty of good things that we did. And you know, if you just boil it down to half court stuff, I walk away from that game feeling fine. It was, as I've said many times, it was the transition that opened up the game and really hurt us.
Left side, second row, Mindy.
Hi, Steve. Mindy Bach, ABC 7 Sports. Is there an update on Andre? And second part, at just the speed of the Raptors' transition, is it reminiscent of any other playoff series that you've been a part of with the Warriors?
Andre had an MRI this morning and seems to be doing well. I haven't heard the results yet, but I talked to him and he said he felt pretty good. And the second part of the question, does this opponent remind me of anybody? Or
Draymond was discussing the speed of the Raptors and the transition. He said the game was a lot faster than it looks, even when you watch it.
Right,
on TV.
Right.
And so I was wondering if this speed of the Raptors reminds you of any playoff series that the Warriors have been part of.
I'm not sure if it reminds me of any of our series, but they remind me of us in a lot of ways. You know, Draymond pushes the ball in transition. Siakam pushes the ball in transition. You know, they've got a lot of guys who can make plays with the ball, just like we do. You know, sometimes they play two-point guards with Lowry and Van Vliet. And, you know, sometimes we do the same with Steph and Sean or Steph and Andre or all three of them. And so when you've got a team that can push the ball from a lot of different positions, make plays from a lot of different positions, and plays fast, you've got to be vigilant every possession. And so, yeah, if anything, they remind me of us.
Final question, right side of the back, Monty.
Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Steve, Andre has acknowledged in the past that when KD is out, he feels more of a need to provide some offense. Last night he had some open looks, didn't able to get anything going down really. In your mind, how important is it that he bring you something on the offensive end in terms of scoring under these conditions against this particular team? And how hard is it to change his game enough to be able to do that, add that function to it?
I think we scored enough points last night. I Andre didn't have his best game, obviously, shooting the ball, but Jonas made a couple threes. Alfonso made a couple. As long as we're getting some scoring from our secondary scorers, then we're in good shape. It doesn't matter if it comes from Andre or Quinn or Jonas or a combination of the above. I thought we got enough scoring. It was, and every game's going to change. You know, I thought they hit some really tough shots last night at the end of shot clocks. And so they made the shots and they deserved it. But again, it to me, it doesn't come down to how many shots Andre makes. It comes down to defense and getting stops. That's what the playoffs are about. We didn't get enough stops.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
And throughout this series against the Raptors, for extended audio coverage of the Warriors in the 2019 NBA Finals, download or stream the Warriors official team podcast by searching Golden State Warriors wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.